daughter of Albion, who we will be introducing very, very shortly. Now, you may have noticed something different tonight, something which is in fact lacking tonight, and that is, of course, my hair. Yes, I am sporting the Corona cut. I got absolutely sick to death of my hair crawling down the back of my neck and above my ears. It's a radical new look, but nearly all the guys on my street have done it, actually. There's one who's holding out. We're all having an intervention soon and making sure he follows suit and shaves it all off. But this is only temporary. I'm not going back to my roots, as somebody said in the chat. This isn't a political statement. Well, it is in a way. It's a political statement that every single hairdresser's and barber's is shut. And no matter how much money I offer people, no one will come to my house and cut my hair. So I did it myself. I hope you all like it. It is temporary. It would probably be quite good for a lunacy run, but sadly, lunacy run looks like it is going to be cancelled. But talking about going back to my roots, before we get into that, actually, I'll do the little intro bits first, then we'll talk about me going back to my roots. Well, we are live tonight on YouTube. We are also live on RadioAlbion.com. It's run by Sven Longshanks. He's a great friend of mine. He helps arrange the conferences. If you want to see other great nationalist material, go to RadioAlbion.com and make sure you subscribe to Sven and all of his excellent work. If you want to contribute to the show, you can. You can ask questions to myself, to Jason, and to the wonderful daughter of Albion. The link for asking questions is Entropy. It is in the show notes. It is also on my Twitter. It is also on my Telegram, and it's in the live chat now. Entropy allows you to make financial contributions. Anyone who makes a financial contribution has their question or statement read out live. And you can also ask non-paid questions. Questions are voted, and the best voted questions every week get read out live on air. So please use Entropy if you want to address myself, the panel, make a statement, or ask questions. If you would like to contribute financially in another way, the best way is Bitcoin. My Bitcoin address is in the description of the show. Now, if you want to contact me about donating in another way, or if you need help, or if you would like to give me any feedback, you can email me at mark@thefallofwesternman.com. That's mark@thefallofwesternman.com. And remember, these shows only last on YouTube for 12 hours for obvious reasons. After that, they are removed and they go straight up on BitChute. So they're on BitChute. There's a full archive of all of the shows on my BitChute channel. And there is also a full archive of all of my weekly shows, the little 10, 15, 20-minute shows I do on a Friday. Some of them have been removed from YouTube, but they're all there in their full form, uncensored, on BitChute. So please support my BitChute. Now, talking about going back to my roots, Russell Brand is being lobbied hard to come and do round two with yours truly. Truly, his recent video has over 1,000 comments, and all of them are calling for him to debate me on the issue of demographics and nationalism. So if you happen to go over to Russell Brand's channel, remind him of good Mark Collett, the guy he met in Leeds all those years ago, and tell him that I'm still here. I'm waiting to talk to him. I hope he's a changed man. I hope he listens to the Dalai Lama. I hope he realizes that Europe is for the Europeans, and maybe, just maybe, we can win him over to our cause of white well-being. Now, that's the good news. We do have a little bit of bad news. We said last Friday, when I was on here with Laura, that the Patriotic Alternative website would be up and running. It is up and running, but people are encountering a few problems, most notably security problems. You will get a notification saying that the site isn't secure. That is because when we moved over to the new site, there was a few things that took a while to tick over, work their way through, percolate around the web. And one of those things is the security certificate, which takes the site from being HTTP to an HTTPS. That is being dealt with and should be dealt with by 12 a.m. Friday morning. So by the end of tomorrow, the end of Thursday, the website should have its security certificate. There is nothing insecure about it. It's not a phishing site. We're just waiting for the certificate to be fully recognized. That should be done by the end of tomorrow. The website is there. If you want to go and check it now and, you know, just click yes, when it asks you about security, that's up to you. If you want to wait till tomorrow or Friday, that's also up to you. It doesn't matter. The site's still going to be there. We put a lot of hard work into it. And it has to be, again, the first nationalist site not to feature a giant donate button or to ask for your cash. Now, remember, these things do cost money. We are funding it out of our own pockets. And I would like to say a huge thank you to Cabo, to Laura, and to Tormund, who have taken us to this point. Those guys did a lot of work on that website, and they all deserve a round of applause. So thank you to them, and you'll be able to see the fruit of their work very, very shortly. So that is my little intro. I see I'm being mentioned a lot in the chat, but I haven't been able to keep my eye on it. I'm sure most of the mentions are about my hair, but I'm going to pass it over to Jason now, who still has all of his hair. So the question is, not only what have you been up to this week, but where have you found a barber, or haven't you, and are you going to shit?
Well, I don't, first of all, it's fantastic to be here with you, Mark, with Sarah, and the magnificent community we have here in Service to White Wellbeing. We just got done playing on my channel, a premiere and live stream to all of my different platforms, my speech from Patriotic Alternative. And I was in this shirt and tie. I did have a jacket on, but I figured I would just keep the theme going right into the show today, because the show is going to be as magnificent as Patriotic Alternative was a few weeks back now. Again, in spite of the plague sweeping the world, we're going to make it happen, ladies and gentlemen. But we don't have barbers yet. In fact, the Virginia Governor Ralph has issued the most stringent lockdown in all of these United States, irrespective of the fact that we don't have a hotspot here, although the county I am in has, I don't know, maybe some 1,500 people who are confirmed. Tack a zero onto that to get about the accurate number. Upcoming this week, of course, we are going to have a tap, and who we're getting tapped into, we don't know yet. Probably be on Friday. It's going to be exhilarating, and I don't know what I'm going to do about a barber. I'll look around the neighborhood. I'll post something on the neighborhood board and see if there's anybody in town who doesn't have COVID-19, who doesn't want to give me the woo flu or the kung flu or whatever they're calling it now. But it's quite real. Very excited to be here with you all, and I'll pass it back to Mark so we can get the show underway.
Okay, thank you very much. So Jason is still managing to maintain his beautiful locks, whereas I am completely scalped. Now, somebody who hopefully has also retained their hair is our special guest, the wonderful Daughter of Albion. Now, she has an incredible YouTube channel, but an even better BitChute channel. She produces absolutely top quality content, and she has possibly the most wonderful voice in nationalism. Now, I was lucky enough to speak to Daughter of Albion the other day on the phone. We had a long chat and we discussed many things. And I have to say, very few people make me smile as much as she did. On Saturday morning, I had decided to make lunch for the family, and I was making some of my award-winning bacon sandwiches. And as I was about to make these bacon sandwiches, one of my friends said, "Have you seen this?" And it was a video from Daughter of Albion on her BitChute account. And it is a BitChute exclusive. And when you go and watch that BitChute exclusive, you will know why. It is one of the most morale-boosting red pills I have ever seen. It is a supercut of George Lincoln Rockwell's greatest speeches and press interviews and little wonderful pieces of wisdom. That video in itself was such a morale booster. I've got to say to you here now in front of the audience, thank you so much for such an incredible video. I can tell you, sometimes being involved in our cause, it feels like you've got a lot of weight on your shoulder. Well, that video was truly uplifting. That gave me wings, even more so than my famous Red Bull. So without further ado, I would like to say hello to Daughter of Albion, the greatest voice on YouTube. Please tell us where we can find you. Tell us how we can support your work. Tell us a bit about you and raise any other issues that are on your mind.
Hi, folks. Well, it's so nice to be here. What an amazing introduction. You can speak at my funeral, Mark. That was wonderful. I had great fun making that video, actually. I have to credit Jason for introducing me to George Lincoln Rockwell. I didn't know that you were also a private fan, Mark, but I took great pleasure in going and finding all of those old clips of his. He's quite the charmer. As you've mentioned, I have a YouTube channel. In my full time, I suppose, in my normal life, I'm a university lecturer in English literature, although I spend most of my time now restoring manuscripts and I'm a book conservator. I finished my PhD in 2014 and quickly went into full time teaching, which I really loved. And I suppose somewhere between 2012, 2015, I noticed an observable change in the direction of scholarship, which was formerly guided by the pursuit of truth, free-minded inquiry, unorthodox conclusions. It was sort of being reassembled into what we now know as kind of racial social justice, with its objective being ultimately the overthrow of Western civilization. So I suppose that's probably my first little red pill. I guess that's how I found myself here, though, looking for other nationalists and listening to other nationalist content, where I've obviously found your channel, Mark, and Jason as well. And I suppose it's gone from there ever since.
Excellent. Well, your channel is full of great videos, and you're somebody who manages to produce short, snappy, amusing videos, and they're always very, very engaging. And as I said, your Rockwell video was really superb. I didn't know you were a lecturer, but you certainly have the correct tone to be reading classic English texts. I can say that it might be something you could do, actually. You could even do a second channel where you just read excerpts of classic English texts for people's enjoyment.
I've had a few people email asking if I would read some dissident texts, put it that way. So I'm open to suggestions for sure. It's quite relaxing, I suppose.
No, that would be superb. Well, let's get into some of the news, because the big news is obviously still the coronavirus. We do have a few other things to talk about tonight, but at the moment, you can't do anything except for see coronavirus news. I go on the Daily Mail every morning and I go down my news feed, and all it is now is coronavirus, something that happened to someone because of the coronavirus, figures about the coronavirus, things that have happened due to the coronavirus, how people are dealing with the lockdown. And generally, it's actually quite depressing. Now, I've got some very interesting figures that I want to run past everybody, because at the moment, there's a couple of sets of figures doing the rounds. And one set of figures would have you believe that this is the end of the world. And the other set of figures probably would make you think, actually, it's not quite as serious as some people are making out. So I want to keep this show balanced, and we're going to go through those figures later. But before we do that, I want to talk a little bit about the loss of community. And I want to talk a little bit about one of the effects of the coronavirus, and something that particularly disgusted me. Now, when all of this started, the big thing was to run into a supermarket, buy as much toilet paper as you could. And soon that went into an all-out panic buying frenzy. And all we saw was people buying as much food as they could. Now, when this was happening, I had a few people say, are you stocking up? What are you getting? And I remember somebody saying to me, if you go into the supermarket and grab whatever you wanted, what would it be? What would Mark Collett go to the supermarket and get? Now, obviously, I have played games like Fallout 3, so I know what needs to be hoarded come the nuclear apocalypse. And medication, bottled water, but importantly, food that doesn't perish. So you want cans, you want things like long life milk. As foul as that tastes, you would take that. You want things like tubes of Pringles, chocolate bars, cake bars, anything that will sit on the shelf for months, potentially even years. If you were to go into the supermarket, like you're in some computer game and you were raiding it for things that were going to see you right through to the other side of the apocalypse, you wouldn't go and get loads of fresh chicken, fish, bread, fruit. Do you know why? because it goes off. And I've got some great suggestions here. We've got people saying pot noodles. Somebody, some joker's got tins of bat soup. I like that. That's quite good. Spaghetti and rice. Yeah, anything that lasts is what you would get. And when I was witnessing what was going on at the supermarkets, because we had some cans. We had some cans. We had bits and pieces that we've got for a rainy day. We had our freezers always somewhere like 75% stocked. And I said at the time, we are going to go to our local Tesco, which isn't very far, and I'm going to go at 6 a.m. every morning and get whatever supplies we need for that day fresh, and then we'll just keep a stock. We're not going to bulk buy. We're not going to go crazy. And I said, all these, frankly, fools who have gone out and come away with one of those mega trolleys stacked high with chicken fillets and minced beef and a dozen avocados, what are they going to do with them? Because no freezer is going to be able to freeze that, unless you've got one of those huge sort of industrial freezers or a freezer that a takeaway might have. I said, no freezer is going to hold all that. What you're going to see in a couple of weeks is mountains and mountains of food. And what are you seeing now? Mountains of food rotting by bins. Bins overflowing with unopened chicken, unopened beef. I saw pictures in the press of packets of burger buns just stacked maybe knee high. And this, again, illustrates just how far we've fallen as a people. Not only have we lost our community to the point where we're fighting over toilet rolls, we've lost our mind. And what do I mean by that? Well, we're going out and buying perishables and stockpiling perishables, which then perish in a week. This is insanity. Look at what we've become. And some of what's happening with the coronavirus, I believe, is the government seeing how we react to certain things. And some of it is proving that we have fallen as a community, but we've also lost our common sense and we truly aren't what we used to be. So I'm going to throw it over to you, Daughter of Albion. What are your thoughts on the coronavirus and how are you coping? How do you react to things like this mass buying of chicken, which goes off within 5 days?
Well, I don't know about you, but I was going straight for the chocolate, not the chicken. I do know that this kind of tendency to stockpile is oftentimes, it seems to be a symptom of a very low trust society. And it's a real decadence to see this excessive waste of food. I've seen it as well, these bins outside Tesco, which are just absolutely sky high. I don't actually think that stockpiling shops was ever going to be a problem. I actually didn't hear that at all. I know toilet paper, there's been a few problems with that. It does go to show, I think, how absent trust is. I've seen quite a few videos of people having scraps and getting quite vicious and nasty with each other. It doesn't take much to descend into Lord of the Flies. It does worry me a bit. Obviously, there have been some very kind people too, but I think there's a real streak of greed, which is actually quite embarrassing. It's that kind of covetousness, and it's a kind of decadence of culture, which it can be quite shameful to watch, really. Obviously, we're very lucky to have access to food. I wouldn't turn my nose up at that, of course, but it's a little bit embarrassing, I would say. Yeah.
So, Jason, did you in error bulk buy more chicken than you can possibly eat, and now you're living literally on a mound of rotting chicken? Or were you like myself and Daughter of Albion, hoarding the chocolate bars and the Pringles?
First of all, I'm going to ask everybody if I'm in sync, audio and video, because for me, you are not in sync. So just wanted to make sure. I might have to leave and rejoin. Am I in sync? Audio and video?
Perfect. You seem in sync.
Okay, great then. I try to be in sync as much as possible. But no, I did not. As everyone knows, I am extraordinarily busy and I continue to be extraordinarily busy. And I have enough food and supplies that if everything went bad for about 3 months, I would be able to survive that time. And then after 3 months, if anybody has more than that, 3 months worth of food, things like cans of beans and all of that sort of business, beef jerky and that sort of thing for protein. If you have to go beyond that, then you have societal collapse and you're going to need to consider a lot more things than where you're going to get your toilet paper. You're going to have your tools of self-defense ready, and you're going to have to go out into the landscape. It would be absolute hell on earth. So that is not going to happen. That I don't see, and it hasn't happened yet. And there were doomsdayers, of course, end of the worlders, saying that that was going to happen here. But what I've been doing is the grocery stores after we had the initial depletion of all of the goods at the stores of various types too, hardware stores, grocery stores, pharmacies, etc. After that happened, they began slowly building back the stock on the shelves. Now, why did that happen? Of course, well, it happened in my opinion, because the stores, the government started talking about closing the stores, which meant there was a great man out there. And those of you who have been in the cause for a long time will know who exactly I'm talking about. He said, you have to, we're not going to be able to get very far until they close the malls and the sporting stadiums, until the lights go off in these places. So all the ladies heard that the malls were going to go dark and they weren't going to be able to buy their handbags and everything else. And all of the idiot sports ball guys out there found out that their seasons were going to be canceled. And for them, that is apocalyptic. And so since we have multiracial anti-white societies, we no longer have a feeling of community. So it's not just about low trust, although I agree with Sarah there, but it's beyond that. It's that we don't give a damn for our fellow brothers and sisters out there because we feel no connection. And studies have shown, of course, Putnam's is one of the most famous, infamous, however you want to put it, that show that the more multiracial a society, in other words, the more anti-white a society, the less cohesion there is, the less participation in society, the less group sports there are, the less donation of time and money to community needs and this sort of thing, community centers, et cetera. All of that breaks down. We begin to not only distrust those of other races, but distrust each other of our own family. And the distrust means that we don't give a damn. So when we go to the grocery store, when we go to get those things we need, things like toilet paper, folks out there are thinking, well, if the Raiders can't play, and if my wife here, who also is a Raiders fan and worships all the same non-white athletes I do, which makes a lot of sense for a white guy to bring his wife into something like that or to marry a woman who's like that, she can't go to the mall and buy the Louis Vuitton bag or whatever. So that means end of the world. We're going to buy all of the toilet paper on the shelves here. And I posted photographs from one or two of the grocery stores in the DC metro area. And there are so many people here, so many grocery stores that you can't throw a rock without hitting another one. And shelves are absolutely empty, but they are restocking them. I continue to go out, ladies and gentlemen, continue to be safe. It is a legitimate plague. So for everybody out there who's saying there's nothing real happening, nobody's catching this, Alex the Fat Jones, or I think somebody corrected me and said he didn't actually send anybody, but some other sources maybe did. To hospitals, and they said, look, there's nobody here. You all need to grow up. This is extremely immature to be saying these things. I know someone personally. There's someone in our community. Both of those individuals suffering desperately from this illness, much worse than the flu. And yes, I know that some people out there can get this and come away from it with little more than a cold, but that doesn't speak against all of these cases we're seeing. And finally, I'm one removed from somebody who got it at one of the offices that I visit regularly. So this is real. I didn't bulk buy. I continue to be able to. In fact, at my grocery store, the closest one, I think they're all doing this. They're putting down these, especially in Virginia now, since we're under such a lockdown, these strips on the floor. You have to stand so far apart. And then they have signs up saying, please buy only one of each item or something, because other people might need to wipe their ass or eat as well. And so it is sickening that we've come to this level. But I will point this out. 2 decades ago, when people like Mark and I were talking about this, we were talking about, and specifically back then, when I didn't use as broadly as I do now all of the lexicon and dialectics that I use in Going Free, we talked about things like the white papers that the government, all these governmental agencies were writing, these people like Soros and their agencies that so many people like to talk about and get tens of thousands of views talking about. And we were talking about their white papers saying that the only way to hold the multiracial society together in the future is extreme surveillance and violence by the government. We've been saying this all along. And so this proves us right once again, that when things start to get a little shaky, you can see that video that I posted a snippet of, where the young African-American youth, as they like to call themselves, he's so eloquent, he's videotaping from a bridge in, I think it was Los Angeles, and the government is moving in M1A2 tanks there, dozens and dozens of them, because there's so much harmony in Western civilization now that when things begin to break down, we just come together and we pull through it as a family. Oh, that's not what happens at all. The government has to come in and put a barrel in your mouth to make sure that you obey their laws. So I pass it back.
Well, something quite interesting has just happened. I don't know if it's true, but people in the chat are saying that Sargon of Akkad has pinched my Eat the Bat Soup bigot graphic. I don't know whether that's true or not. If he has, I'm not too bothered, actually. I think it's quite amusing. But yeah, if there's any proof of that, please send me the link or send me a screenshot, even better. Send me a screenshot on Telegram, put it in my Telegram chat, because I would very, very much like to see that. But anyway, the figures I was talking about, and these figures are very interesting. The government in the UK has been updating us daily on the number of infections and also the number of people who have sadly died. And as of today, the infection rate runs about 29,474. That was the most up-to-date set of figures I could get. And the number of people who've died has risen to 2,352. Now, that gives us a sky-high death rate, a death rate of 7.97%, so near on 8%. Now, before this actually happened, or before this outbreak got as far as it did, Boris Johnson made a speech to the public where he said the overwhelming majority of people would get the disease. Now, the overwhelming majority is 70%. Now, if 70% of Britons got the disease and the rate of mortality stayed at nearly 8%, that would actually mean that over 3.6 million people would die of this disease. Now, that seems really, really high and is a really, really worrying statistic, because obviously if over 3.6 million people were going to die, and most of them were going to be elderly white people, we know what would happen. They would die, the demographic shift would continue massively, and no doubt the government would then say we needed to replace those people instantly with wonderful people from places like Syria and Somalia and Afghanistan, and you know. But that seems a long way off, doesn't it? To say we've had 2,352 people die is a tragedy, but to say that could rise to over 3.6 million is massive. But then I've seen another figure from the government which suggests over 1.8 million people have actually got the disease. But the vast, vast, vast majority, more, you know, in the high 90%, don't really get any symptoms or just get a runny nose or a bit of man flu and, you know, plod around the house in their dressing gown and slippers for a day feeling sorry for themselves. And this 1.8 million, the vast majority, don't go to see the doctors. And in fact, the only people who go to see the doctors about this are either people who are wealthy enough to afford a private test and are just curious. And obviously that would include people like Boris Johnson. That's why so many of these celebrities are getting tested and why people in the royal family are getting tested. But the vast majority of people being tested who are normal people are being tested because they have the most severe symptoms. So the 8% death rate is 8% of the people with the most severe symptoms. And if over 1.8 million people have it already, at the current infection rate, which, if 1.8 million people have it already, at the current rate of 2,352 people dying, that would mean that the death rate is actually only 0.1%, well, 0.13%. to be accurate, maybe lower if more than 1.8 million have been infected, as the government suggests it's more than 1.8 million now. And that would put things in a very, very different perspective and would mean that by the end of this, just over 60,000 people would end up dying. Now, before anyone says, oh, Mark, you're wrong, Mark, it's much worse than you're saying. Well, actually, the figures that I'm presenting are backed up by what's happening in Germany, because in Germany they are testing far, far more people. And if you look at the figures in Germany, the Germans have tested, or last time I checked, were testing at a ratio of about 3 to 1 when it came to the UK. So they're testing far more people. And accordingly, their death rate is much, much lower. Despite testing far more people, less of those people have died and their death rate is lower. So this suggests there's been a huge underreporting of this disease, which suggests that something might be up here. Because although I do agree with the quarantine, and I certainly agree with making sure that we don't pass this to the elderly and the vulnerable, because the last thing I want to see is lots and lots of people of European descent dying prematurely. That would be an absolute tragedy. You start to wonder why the government are being so heavy-handed, and potentially there would be a call to quarantine the elderly, to quarantine the vulnerable. But if 1.8 million people do have the disease, or more than 1.8 million, and the vast majority get very, very mild symptoms, this lockdown that we are in might be an example of the government flexing its muscles and seeing how much of a police state people like us would accept. Because I'll tell you something, and this is very interesting. My supermarket used to be a 24-hour supermarket. And that meant that at the beginning of this outbreak, I could go at a weird time of the morning or very, very late at night, see absolutely nobody and get my food. But now it's only open between 8 a.m. and 10 p.m. and there's huge queues there. Well, if you were the government and you genuinely wanted people to have less contact with each other, why would you be forcing them into these giant queues? You'd be saying, look, supermarkets need to be open 24 hours a day. People need to be spreading out. We don't want queues snaking around supermarkets because it brings more people into contact with each other. They're stood outside for hours. That's not a good thing. Could this be an example of the government flexing its muscles? And I want to, first of all, of course, throw this over to Daughter of Albion. What are your thoughts on these figures? How serious do you think this is? Are you one of the people who believes it's the end of the world, or do you believe it's being a little bit overblown? Are you on the fence? And do you think the government could be using this as an exercise to see how willing we are to allow a police state to be ushered in?
Oh, you know what? I feel genuinely perplexed about all of it, because I was looking at the news earlier and I had read that there had been nearly 600 deaths in a single day. So it had jumped up by something like 50%. I mean, it does seem that we're maybe about 2 or 3 weeks behind Italy. And I know that they've had a slightly, if I can say, better week. I think they've had the record sort of lowest death toll for a week. So maybe that we'll reach that plateau and things will start to level out again. I honestly don't know. The problem with me is I'm a bit of a conspiracy theorist, and I'm quite impressionable to these things. I think it's very possible, yes, that the government would do this. Then again, it's hard to know if that could be the case with China stretching right across Europe, whether they would, what that would mean, the implications would be, is it something they'd be in collaboration over? I really don't know. It could also, I mean, I know Boris Johnson has got it, hasn't he? But he seems to still be speaking. I actually didn't know that about 80% of people having symptoms. I'd not heard that. Was that what you said, Bart? That about 80% of people had no symptoms?
Well, what they're saying is, Boris Johnson said originally that the overwhelming majority of people will get the disease. Now, the overwhelming majority is 70% plus. And at the moment, they're saying 29,474 have tested positive with a total number of 2,352 deaths. But then the government are saying, on the other hand, but they estimate 1.8 million plus actually have the disease, and the only people being tested are self-selecting for testing. So they're feeling so ill, they go and get tested, whereas the vast majority, sort of over 1.7 million, well, nearly the full 1.8 million actually, because it would be something in the region of 1,770,000 people out there have got the disease but haven't been tested for it. And that's the big issue. There seems to be a huge underreporting.
Yeah, I mean, it seems as well that it's very difficult to anticipate who is precisely affected. I've read about a girl today who was 20 who's died and seemed to have no underlying health condition. People who have symptoms speaking about feeling like they can't breathe, and obviously on respirators. I don't exactly know what what would actually lead people to be feeling worse than others apart from underlying health conditions. But it seems that a lot of people don't actually have underlying health conditions as well. A 13-year-old boy as well, I was reading earlier. I honestly don't know. I find it very confusing. But there's something a little bit suspicious about it to me. A little bit unusual, I would say. I can't quite put my finger on it, though, if I'm honest.
No, there's something about this where I'm not quite sure, because when this first started happening, I was obviously very concerned for our people, because I'm not a GDP man. I've been getting quite a bit of heat about this, actually. We're going to talk a bit about GDP later, but I'm not a big GDP man. And I'm actually doing a video at the moment that I finished recording and started the editing on called The Genocidal Cult of GDP, which is going up on Friday. But I was very angry that at the time, Boris Johnson kept the borders open and was saying, no, we must keep the globalist project going. We've got to keep the money coming in, guys. And I always believe that people should be put before profit. But I can see, as I say, lots of sides to this. And I get a lot of emails from people. Some people say, Mark, this is much worse than you think. Look at this particular paper. Then I get somebody else literally in the next email saying, Mark, look at this. It's being massively underreported. And this is being used so that the government can roll out a new police state. And it's very difficult to know what to think. And I've tried on this show over the last couple of weeks, since this really has been the main thing to talk about, although we do have something really funny to talk about next. I've tried to keep quite balanced. And I agree with you, that, yeah, it is difficult to know what's happening. But what do you think, Jason?
Well, the disease is real and it's novel. And the governments, as a consequence, and one of the things I'll just mention right up front is that you notice how a lot of these people, whether you know they're in the Y positive sphere or more in the periphery of the Y positive sphere, sort of these cranks. And initially, the government said, and the establishment media was saying, this is nothing, it's a cold, it's the flu. And then all of the cranks said, oh, they're lying. It's actually really virulent and it's going to decimate the world. And then when the government said, oh my God, and the media said, oh my God, it's really serious, we gotta shut everything down. All the cranks said, oh my God, they're lying, it's really nothing. So, I mean, these people are useless garbage. I have anybody who vacillates like this from this one extreme, just whatever these contrarian natures, just from one extreme to the next, just to say the opposite. Now, a government, if a flu, a new influenza came out that no one had, was radically different from every influenza that has come before, so that no one had an immunity or near immunity, no herd immunity whatsoever, natural, and no immunizations against this, totally novel. The governments and as infectious as COVID-19, SARS-CoV-2, COVID-19 is actually the disease itself. SARS-CoV-2 is the thing that floats around. If an influenza were as infectious as this has demonstrated to be, and there's still this fog of war, medical science is still trying to figure out exactly how long it's airborne, how long it can live on different surfaces. So far, we've seen conservative studies have shown, they're not peer-reviewed yet, but conservative studies have shown that just breathing like I'm exhaling right now, not coughing or sneezing, it can stay airborne for 3 hours. Now, if you inhale a viral load that is enough to get you sick, or enough of a viral load goes into your eyes, then you'll become ill. So it doesn't mean that if somebody exhales and you, pardon me, pass through it, that you're automatically going to have it. You have to receive enough of a viral load for it to take hold inside of you. Certainly somebody coughing or sneezing is going to emit much more of it. On different surfaces, it's been shown to live. Viruses aren't exactly alive, but we anthropomorphize them when we talk about them. So it can be alive on different surfaces for a different amount of time. On paper, for a little over 24 hours, they're saying these are the conservative estimates. On metal, for 3, maybe even 4 days. Metal or plastic for that long, 3, maybe even 4 days. So it is extremely infectious. Now, if you had just the basic influenza, a new one that was this infectious, no herd immunity, nobody, no inoculation out there for it, no immunization for it, the governments would have to take these steps, because can you imagine if everyone at your workplace got the flu at the same time because no one had it and it was this infectious? Your business would shut down. Now, maybe you do something that is totally irrelevant and not needed by society whatsoever, but maybe you work in the police department. Maybe you're a firefighter. Maybe you work in the hospital. And so you can imagine what would happen if they, everybody at a hospital got this flu that knocked them out for some people 20 days, and they're still struggling with elevated temperatures and this sort of thing. So the government has to take steps. Social distancing has been in the books for a long time about what to do about pandemics, about plagues, etc. That if there's nothing else they can do, they don't have therapeutics, and they're working on therapeutics right now. Things like hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin combo is showing to help a lot of people. But of course, the governments can't say this absolutely works because there hasn't been any studies yet. They're now moving into position to do studies in the midst of the application on real people in the United States. I think it's called, it's a mercy medicine where they allow you to take anything. Regrettably, this chloroquine and the newer version of hydroxychloroquine, both of which are like 50 and 70 years old, these are used by people with lupus. And it works for them for sure. And now these supplies are being bought out from underneath of them. So there's a lot of bad going on. But the disease is absolutely out there. They're working on three different types of immunizations. The two that everybody is familiar with, the dead virus and the live virus. And there's a possibility that they could have those at some point in the next year or so available to the population, different in different countries, of course. And there's a brand new type of immunization where they actually inject the code of this RNA into your body, the same code of SARS-CoV-2, and your cells take it up, produce this protein, but it's not the disease. Your white blood cells identify it and kill it. Now, I'm a little bit, I don't know whether or not I have faith in that one. I want to, or any really immunizations or for or against, but certainly this brand new version, I think they should do some testing before, because of course, these cells are going to undergo mitosis and they'll keep producing this protein for the rest of your life, as I understand. But the issue here is, and a lot of people, I think, are questioning the fact that this SARS-CoV-2 has an affinity for three main receptors in cells that are throughout the body. And that's why you're seeing some people get extremely ill, and others, they're saying they get something less, they get something that is maybe a bad cold or the equivalent of a regular flu, and then they recover. And yes, a lot of these people are not being tested. So there's a lot of guessing going on about just the same way there is with flu. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, stop comparing flu with SARS-CoV-2. The flu is all speculation. All of those numbers, there aren't any real numbers. It's all guesses by all the governments because there are just too many people that get it. So when they say this many people die from the flu, it's a guess. They don't know how many people died from the flu. It could be half that number. It could be double that number. They have no way of knowing. It's a pure guess. So it's two totally different things. So what happens, though, is that these cells SARS-CoV-2 have an affinity for are throughout your body. They can be in your kidneys, your lungs, your liver, your throat, a lot of different places in the body. So you're seeing, as with my friend, for example, who contracted this and suffered grievously with it, 103 and higher temperatures and the like, had to be at one point, because of the excruciating pain, had to be given liquid morphine to prevent this person from going into shock, which potentially can kill you, and then had to go back to the hospital to receive forced oxygen because the oxygen level dropped to 80%. So this was to prevent stroke and death. This is a healthy person in their 30s, no health condition that would magnify SARS-CoV-2. And now in the recovery stage, has been called by the hospital who did all the scans and everything, and of course charged exorbitant sums. Hospitals that, by the way, were full with people who were there to deal with SARS-CoV-2. There are hotspots, so you can go to South Dakota and head to the hospital, for example, and find hospitals empty, and they don't have anybody suffering with this. And then you can go to places like New Jersey and New York and New Orleans and Northern California and Washington State, where the hospitals are absolutely replete, and we don't want that to happen everywhere else. But the doctors called her and said, by the way, you're going to have to come back in because SARS-CoV-2 damaged your heart, And now you're going to have to potentially have a surgery on your heart to drain this fluid from your heart. Hopefully we can take care of it with medication. So it absolutely is something that is real. It is now, and then these other people say, well, the government is doing this to take the rest of the liberties away or what have you. This is a misunderstanding of human daimonism. And it happens all the time because people just aren't smart enough to understand that there aren't giant hive brains that are running things and thinking for everyone. So what happens is anti-whites are always trying to take away freedoms and liberties. They're always trying to use every opportunity there is in society. They have bills written right now waiting for any moment to advance them in all of our countries, that it, whatever happens, they then push it forward. How do you think they have those like 40,000 word and 400,000 word bills and everything that they have immediately to go in place the instant something happens? Well, of course, they're just advancing their anti-white agenda. There doesn't need to be somebody at, you know, some person sitting on the throne of the world saying, let's take away the final. What is it that they have that they don't have already? They can not fly a drone over your head? They do that in some places under certain circumstances anyhow. So this is something that instead of, you know, wondering, speculating endlessly about are these people who are powerful beyond imagination, gods on earth, able to just cast disease out onto the world, invisible killers onto the world? Are they doing it for this or are they doing it for that? That's just mental masturbation. You're wasting your time. And it is a great excuse to not actually advance white well-being because you have set yourself up an enemy, that a victimizer that is incomprehensibly strong. Instead, we should use our time to go out, either when you can yell at somebody who's 6 feet away from you, several meters away when you go to the grocer, and you can say, this is going on because of XYZ, as I have been doing. You can get on blogs. You can use this time to be productive for white well-being instead of this endless nonsense. The last thing I'll say about it is, if someone is saying to you, if some content producer is saying, well, they're doing this because of they're releasing invisible killers so that they can do XYZ. They, it's always they, it's never anybody, it's never any group, it's just they that are doing it. Just at the end of that, say, and what? And what? You want me to be scared and sit at home and do nothing? And you want me to buy your products of, you know, 6 months worth of food? And what? What are you trying to get out of this story that you're feeding me? And if it's something like be scared and buy my products, then never watch that person again. Instead, tune in to Mark Collett and the good work that they are doing at Patriotic Alternative.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Jason, for those kind words. Well, we've now got a more lighthearted topic. It's still coronavirus related, but it is slightly lighter-hearted. But, well, it is lighthearted, but it might enrage you. In fact, it might be one of those things that makes you rather irritated. And it certainly isn't going to be something that endears you to our police force. And as you all know, I really, really don't like the police. I think the British police are an utter disgrace. But the latest British police nonsense, or the latest nonsense from the police, who are a complete disgrace, came, I think it was yesterday. I think yesterday was Trans Awareness Day of Visibility or some nonsense. And it's amazing, isn't it? Because the police were telling people that because of coronavirus, they weren't going to be following up what they called low-level crime. Now, it's very interesting what they call low-level crime, because one of the things that they considered low-level crime is actually burglary. So the police are saying, if you have your house burgled during this pandemic, we're not coming out to see you. That's it. You know, deal with it yourself. You're basically ruined. Ring up, get a crime number, speak to the insurance people. But as for tracking your stuff down, forget it. The police aren't interested, because it's all hands on deck. It's all hands on deck. Everyone's got to be there. The force have got to pull together. We've got to pull in former officers. It's all hands on deck, because we need to get to grips with corona. So, of course, thinking about this, thinking, well, gosh, you know, we're in the midst of this pandemic, you'd think the police wouldn't be too bothered about Trans Day of Visibility. But that's not the case, because Cambridge police yesterday managed to tweet the following: happy hashtag Trans Day of Visibility. Or we stand by our trans community and believe everyone deserves to live their lives free from hate and discrimination. Hate of any kind will not be tolerated and should be reported here. Hashtag safer Kames. Well, it's not funny. You know, because let's face it, guys, if your house gets broken into, if your personal possessions are rifled through, if the things you've spent your life collecting and curating are smashed to smithereens or stolen by some piece of filth, that doesn't count. But if you're confused, if you want to mutilate your genitals, if you believe that you're a, you know, if you're a bloke and you believe you're a woman or a tree or a hedgehog, or you're one of the now 264 genders and counting, and somebody says mean words to you on Twitter, don't worry. You know, the police will be out there straight away. The sirens will be wailing. Somebody will be getting their doors kicked in at 4 a.m. with a full flying squad, you know, pouring into their house and holding Heckler and Cox to their head, because that's how the police operate, isn't it? That's what the police care about. They're not dealing with burglaries, but if somebody says mean words to some bloke in a wig, well, you better believe Cambridge police are on the job. I can't stand the police. They're a complete disgrace. This just adds to my absolute disdain for them. But daughter of Albion, did you enjoy Trans Day of Visibility? I mean, was it a highlight of your week? And what do you think of the police and their disgraceful behaviour?
Well, to my shame, for a day of visibility, I didn't even notice it. It's possible because I don't have Twitter. But that's fascinating. I mean, I'm not really sure what is the idea behind a day of visibility. It sounds a little bit like they're painting a target on their own backs.
Well, I think they're going to wander around and be seen. Someone just put in the chat that Cartoon Network and Nickelodeon also were in full support of this. So if
really?
You've got kids and your kids are watching Cartoon Network and Nickelodeon, get them away from that poisonous box.
That's so pornographic. I hate that kind of thing. I mean, it's so... it's just a disgrace. It's really perverted, especially when it's on the kids' networks. I mean, bless them. It's a day of visibility, but everyone's in lockdown. so it's not worked out terribly well for them. Maybe better luck next year. Was this running last year as well? Like, I can't quite remember.
I think it happens every year. It's like a special day where they're all meant to come out into the streets and we're all meant to celebrate. Clap. Yeah, and clap for their bravery.
Like all the NHS staff that have been leaving at the moment. You have these little bands of people celebrating. I mean, it's so embarrassing when our police force are like this. I mean, I know a lot of them work hard, but the rest of the world must just be laughing at us. I mean... I'm not surprised so many terrorists are trying to invade us, because they must just look at our police force and think, well, what a joke. They're a bunch of wet wipes, which is true.
It is. And I've got to say this as well. A good friend of mine who doesn't live far from me, and he's a really nice guy. He often contributes to the show. I meet up with him quite a bit. We have a few games of Street Fighter 2. Now, on his way back from the conference, he was actually zapped by a policeman sat hidden in a country lane on a Sunday morning, early on a Sunday morning, with nothing better to do than sit there with a speed gun collecting fines for the state. So bear in mind, when the police say they're not going to visit you because you've been burgled, there's always one of these horrible people sat hidden behind a hedgerow, like some peeping Tom with a speed gun, waiting to tax you more. And we know where that money's going, probably to some Trans Day of Visibility nonsense. Have you ever been caught by a speed camera and it boiled your blood?
Daughter of Albion?
Sorry, I didn't unmute then. Do you know what? I was never caught by a speed camera, but I bet it'll happen now I've said that. you're right. I mean, there is always one of them lurking. That's for sure.
It certainly is. Jason, what are your thoughts on Trans Day of Visibility? Did you see any visibility? Have you been watching Cartoon Network with hate in your eyes now?
Oh, my gosh. Why did they not allow them to get out into the streets this year? They should have. I mean, they should have. They embrace the diseases already, don't they? I mean, so Didn't they have, wasn't it a few years ago? I'm not kidding. Somebody even in the chat could possibly say, but weren't they saying, let's just all get AIDS at some point. Weren't they saying that? Just to spread it around to everyone so that everybody can have it. And then it's discrimination if you don't have it. So why didn't they go out there and just spread the SARS-CoV-2 to each other and then stay home? But it is pathetic that the police department, and so telling of anti-white ideology, that they are out there to make sure that you are not having heretical thoughts. They will come, as Mark said in his tweet, kick your door down. But they're letting the criminals go when they rob. But in the United States as well, I don't know if this is happening in the UK or elsewhere, perhaps somebody can share, and that is that they are freeing prisoners from our prisons. They are letting them out, these anti-whites, particularly in these very anti-white states, because they're worried about SARS-CoV-2 in the prisons. And my feeling is that if you commit crime and you're in prison and it plague hits, well, then it's just too damn bad. But I'll pass it back to Mark.
Thank you. Well, does anyone have anything else to say on coronavirus? Are we all coronavirused out after this extensive discussion because there is no more news?
I think we could be coroned out.
Coroned out, well, yeah.
I'll just briefly say that the receptors are the ACE2, C sign and L sign. The ACE2 is upregulated in Asians, but C sign and L sign is upregulated, according to the scientists, in Caucasians. So that is why there is talk about this potentially being a bioweapon, in that it would have initially affected China, then they could use their communist powers to suppress it, and then it would really afflict the white world. But I guess that's yet to see.
Yeah, it is very interesting. I mean, I'm not massively up on the actual science, but I have looked through all the statistics, as you've seen tonight, and I'm very interested to what real effect this would have. But again, what I'll say closing on this subject, and obviously you guys are free to comment, the fact of the matter is, as soon as we knew that there was an infectious disease sweeping across a huge region of China, the first thing the government should have done is close the borders and test any British nationals coming back. And I find it really hilarious that all Western leaders have imposed quarantines between Western countries. They have tried to get their own citizens back, but very few of them have actually imposed quarantines on China. I think, wasn't it Donald Trump who imposed a travel ban from Europe, but refused a travel ban from China? I mean, how insane is that? And you can see here that, again, economics and political correctness really do take precedent over our health when it comes to these globalist GDP cultists. What's your thoughts on that, daughter of Albion?
Yeah, well, I just saw something advertised earlier, which was the climate of xenophobia in this pandemic is affecting Asian or Jewish Asians, I think it was. And I just thought, God, how peculiar and selfish at this point that there's this very strange push to make sure everybody's sharing the same space. I mean, I don't really want to be anywhere near Chinatown or anything like that. I think you're right, though. I think he did. I think Donald Trump did carry on allowing flights back and forth. I'm not entirely sure why. I mean, Jason, you probably know a bit more about that than I do.
Yeah, so just very briefly, initially, they dragged their feet because for the obvious reasons these are non-white people, and therefore they're special, et cetera. You know, according to anti-whiteism, he has to worry about non-white votes in this country. And so they dragged their feet far longer than they should have. He eventually banned flights from China. He should have immediately banned flights from the entire region. The government, you have no doubt that the government of the United States, I'm sure UK and the others, knew exactly what this was and exactly what its potential was. It was the fact that these people were non-white that caused them to drag their feet, and the fact that Europe is white, which enabled him to immediately, as the day before I flew over there, to ban all of Europe from the United States. No problem, because it's white people. And then the day I'm there, the first day I'm there, add UK to that list as well.
Right. Well, that about brings us to the end of the first half of the show, but we do have another half where we answer your questions. Now, if you want to ask a question, you need to use Entropy. The link is in the chat now. It is also in the description of the show on my Twitter and on my Telegram. You can send a super chat, a financial contribution. They all get read out. Or you can ask a question and the best questions are voted up. And they are always asked during the show. So here goes, starting with the super chat. Topius Catius, aka Top Cat, gave £10. Thank you very much. And he said, welcome back to the Shaven Head Club. Everyone should check out Daughter of Albion's latest BitChute video and get it added to their gym playlist. Yes, it is a superb video. Is there anything you would like to comment further on that video?
Oh, I'm so happy that it went down that well. You know, that was just one of those videos that I made for fun, really. I think I might try and make some more gym-based material, though. Maybe people can go running to it.
I would certainly like more videos like that. It really was uplifting. I think when you have a supercut of somebody like George Lincoln Rockwell, it must have taken you an awful lot of time to do that, but it was superbly done, and it certainly lifted my spirits. And let's say, look, Daughter of Albion's got an amazing YouTube account, and she's already got 27,000 subs, which is a really good number. But her BitChute account, just like my BitChute account, isn't being subscribed to by as many people as her YouTube. And one day, both myself and Daughter of Albion could easily face seeing our YouTube accounts disappear. So could No White Guilt. So could all of us, really. I heard the Iconoclast has had his latest video taken down for hate speech. So please make sure you do support myself, Daughter of Albion, No White Guilt, the Iconoclast, and all your favorite content creators over on BitChute. In fact, let's try and get Daughter of Albion subs up tonight. So if you haven't done it, the link's in the description. Go and sub her now, and let's see how far we can get that up tonight.
Thank you.
Novi Honza gave $5 and he said, Mark, I've had almost as close a haircut as you voluntarily for about 45 years. Just watch Jason's speech from your great conference. How electrifying. You do great work uniting our people. Thank you very much. And I'm sure Jason's happy to hear that his speech went down well. It really was great. Joey Joe gave £5. Thank you very much. He said, hi, Mark. Huge fan and love your work. My simple question is, he's made a comment about millennial woes, which I'm not going to read out. And I think it's a little bit unfair. Now, I want to address it, though, because you actually have asked it. I'm not going to read it out because I don't think it's true what you're saying about him. But I think lots of people who are part of our movement have had pasts that aren't necessarily in line with what we believe. But I think this movement has to be a movement of redemption and largely forgiveness. And I'd like Daughter of Albion's take on this and Jason's take on this, but I think today we're surrounded by so many negative influences. And if you look at what our enemies push, it's always very enjoyable, isn't it? So if you like beautiful women, there's an abundance of sexually charged material which turns your head. If you like eating and indulging in culinary delights, there's so much of it that you quickly become obese. If you like relaxing in front of the television, there's so many shows that you never have to go outdoors. If you like, say, doing a little bit of computer gaming, there's now so many games and they're all online, you could literally lock yourself away, and there's a benefit system which allows you to do that. Now, I believe that this movement is a movement of redemption, and there's not one person here tonight, either on this panel, watching this show in the live chat, who hasn't made a mistake at some time or another. There's not a single person who hasn't at some point done something they're not proud of. But our movement is about raising people up. Our movement is about helping people overcome the issues that they face. Our movement is about getting people off the negatives that they've become addicted to and into positive, fruitful activity. And I think that we at Patriotic Alternative do that. We do a lot to get people into better social activities. I answer emails every day to people who have problems, and I help them. I help them with health and fitness. I help them with social issues. I help them with their CVs. We are a movement about change. We're a movement of redemption. And I think it's very unfair to castigate people for things they've done wrong before they became a nationalist or before they've seen the light, because we are very small and we don't have a huge amount of power. But the media has a vast, vast reach and a vast amount of power. And the people who hate us and want us gone are part of the educational system. They're part of the establishment. They're part of the police. They're part of social services. They're taking over the military. They are in every walk of life trying to lead our people down destructive dead-end alleyways. So we can't really be angry at our own people for making mistakes when they're constantly presented with material that tries to force them to make mistakes. What's your thoughts on that, Daughter of Albion? Do you agree with that? What do you think about redemption?
Well, I actually can't see the chat, so I didn't see the super chat. But from the gist of what you're saying, I assume it was something critical. I mean, I suppose I'm just reminded of what Nietzsche said. He said that it says nothing against the ripeness of a spirit that it has a few worms. And gosh, I think everybody has their negative flaws. And I would be very surprised if there was anyone in the movement that was flawless. I mean, I like Millennial Ways very much. I think a lot of people esteem and admire his channel, and it's been very helpful for a great number of people. So, yes, of course, redemption and also friendship, forgiveness, just supporting each other. We have bigger fish to fry, I think. We're being invaded, so we have to stick together. I mean, I'm a big believer in self-cultivation and improvement anyway, and these things take time. So, yeah, let's try to have each other's backs, I suppose.
Yeah, that's beautifully said. And also, we should have you on all the time. You should just come on with like quote of the week. That was that was fantastic.
Good timing, I guess.
that was beautifully put. And I do agree. I think that we do need to have each other's backs. The beauty of this community. Look, I'll be honest. When I first met Millennial Woes, I thought, gosh, this guy, you know, he's got so much potential, but he's holding himself back. But seeing how far he's come in the last few years, seeing him the first time I ever met him and seeing him now at the last PA conference dressed in lovely trousers, a nice shirt, a tie, he's a changed man, and he's changing and developing, and that's because of nationalism. And we have to be a movement that's welcoming, that's kind, that helps people go through that change. If we turn our nose up at everyone who isn't perfect and doesn't immediately meet our standard, we are actually hurting our own movement. I want to be that movement that people say, wow, I've hit rock bottom and I realized there was something wrong with society. And then I found you guys and I want help. I want to be the movement that people come to for help. And talking of George Lincoln Rockwell, if anyone reads his book, there is a charming story in that book of how a deadbeat hippie who had done everything in his life and gone completely wrong turned up at Rockwell's party headquarters and asked for help. And Rockwell turned him into a fine, young, clean-shaven, fighting man from being a deadbeat, weed-smoking hippie. That is what redemption is. And if we're ever to build a community that is going to beat this horrible anti-white agenda, it has to be a welcoming community that doesn't spit at people for the mistakes they've made, but holds out a hand and helps them never to make those mistakes again. Is there anything else you'd like to add to that, Sarah, before we move on?
No, I think you summed it up beautifully. I suppose it's just a question sometimes of a little bit of goodwill and a bit of amicability. It goes a long way, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And I think It does. I think that pretty much closes that point. And I, if people want to say critical things, you know, they can do. But I'd prefer that people try to keep positive and see the ground people have made rather than looking at where those people came from and casting stones. That's the important thing, really. Paul King, he gave £10. Thank you very much. The Rhines List and Jimmy Savile case show clear evidence that satanic ritual abuse is practiced by our government and establishment. There is a clear correlation in Satanism and their obsession with power, paedophilia, and controlling the people of this country. Why isn't this mentioned? Why isn't this ever mentioned? Well, Paul, it's funny you say, why isn't this ever mentioned? Because I did an entire video on the links between the establishment and paedophilia. In fact, I can't find it now because then I'll be twittering away looking in through my YouTube videos, but I actually did a video. If somebody can tell me the name of that video, that is a video for you, Paul. I constantly talk about the establishment, paedophilia, how the establishment helps paedophiles, how the Jimmy Savile case was covered up. I've even talked about it in the Royal Family. I did a video on the links between the Royal Family and Jeffrey Epstein and how ultimately it showed they have complete contempt for us. I'm totally open to the fact that these people use us as if we were cattle and they're willing to abuse our children or do whatever they need to us to please themselves. So I don't know why you said this is never mentioned, because I've actually made videos about this. What's your thoughts on the Jimmy Savile case and the amount of paedophilia within the establishment?
That's really strange timing, actually, because I'm subscribed to a true crime channel by, I think the gentleman is called Sean Atwood. Some of you might know him. And just yesterday, he actually had a fella on. He was talking about satanic ritual abuse. And I just couldn't believe what I was hearing. I had no idea this even existed. This is sort of eyes wide shut sort of material. It seems that there's a strong link between Freemasonry and the police and government. I think it was it Edward Heath, as well as Cyril Smith, who were, you know, really big time paedophiles. I think Prince Philip is linked to the Freemasons. Prince Charles is very good friends with Jimmy Savile, who seems to have been even more than a paedophile, but maybe some sort of ritual abuser. I don't entirely understand it, but I actually think it's quite a big problem, more than I'd actually realised. There was a channel that was mentioned, if people are interested in it. I think the channel is called Phoenix and Aria Speaks, and they're basically two young victims of SRA, and they were just talking about their experiences, very articulate to young people. It's horrendous what they go through, but I didn't know that this was even a phenomenon. I mean, I've heard about this with links to Pizzagate and whatnot, but it's a really repulsive rot that's clearly in our establishment. I'd like to know more about it. It's difficult to stomach these sorts of things. I find it difficult to listen to, but it's obviously necessary. I don't know what the link is between Freemasonry and why they do this, but I think it's probably more of a problem than I'd realised before, if I'm honest. But I'll have to watch your video, Mark. Yeah, that sounds interesting.
I'm actually just looking for the video, and strangely enough, I know I've made it, but I can't find it. Whether it's one of the ones that has disappeared off YouTube, because I have had quite a few videos that have gone down the memory hole, and this one might have been due to the fact it's obviously talking about the way the establishment covers for these paedophiles, but I'll keep looking for it. I see no white guilt's back. Did you hear any of those points we've made, Jason?
Not about Freemasonry, but the movement of redemption is the words right out of my mouth, brother. Totally underscore that. Don't have to repeat any of it. And we talk about it at length and go free. That's exactly what we are. And it's the love that Mark shows. While Mark's looking for this video, I'll just talk briefly. It's the love that Mark shows. It's the love that we show as a community, because we all have skeletons in our closets. We all have things that we would rather have not done. We all have positions that we would rather have not held, every single one of us. And so, and it's not just something that's from the past. I mean, we need to be able to, and a great many folks who have spoken to me about the success that they're having in their lives because they are going free, is that they appreciate that in going free, we allow you to make errors, because we are fallible people. I screw up all the time. And so making an error is not the problem. It's making the error and then repeatedly allowing yourself to make the error, instead of saying, okay, I stumbled, I'm going to get back up and I'm going to move forward to the top of that mountain again. Looks like Mark maybe has found what you were looking for.
I haven't found it. So many of my videos have disappeared from YouTube or being pruned or put in limited state. It's impossible to find the ones I've made. It's quite enraging when this happens, but again, it just shows what we're up against. You make a video exposing the establishment's paedophilia, and then YouTube, a corporate entity, ensure that the establishment is covered for. I'm going now through my BitChute to see if I can find it. But at the moment, it's something that doesn't seem to be popping up on my radar, which is it's rather annoying. But if I do find it before the end of the show, I'll tell people the name of the video, and hopefully people can then go and check it out, but at the moment it seems to be eluding me. I know I've definitely made it, but unfortunately, and I remember making it because at the end of it I commented on the fact the royal family were, or there was footage of the royal family meeting with Jimmy Savile, because you've got to remember, it was well known in the BBC what Savile was up to. Ah, here it is. The British state protects paedophiles. That is what the video is called. So we can move on now. I'm satisfied. That is up on BitChute. And if you can see it on my YouTube, please tell me where it is. I don't know where it is. Yeah. So there, I knew I'd made it. Anyway, Celtic Advocate gave £4. Thank you very much. He said, hi, all. Keep up the great work. I work in a drink supply chain warehouse. Very worried I'll catch COVID and spread it to the family. But when the recession comes, I won't be able to get another job. Do I quit? I think you should stick out your job. Just take sensible precautions. If you feel a need, wear gloves or wear a mask. What would you do, Sarah? Would you quit or would you stick with it?
No, I'm no quitter. I'd crack on. We need you on the front line. I mean, all joking aside, I actually really feel for a lot of the cashiers and people who are doing a lot of this manual work, because they sort of are on the front line of it, really. But yeah, I think just as long as you take good, sensible precautions, your employer should be making sure that you have everything you need. But yeah, crack on. We're very grateful for it, for sure. So keep going.
Would you stick with it, Jason, or would you fold?
I would stick with it. I would wear my goggles and my mask as I did to come over there to the UK and back, and also not touch my face. As you see me trying to do here, ladies and gentlemen, don't touch your faces until you sanitize your hands.
Excellent. I have found the video. It is still on YouTube. It's called The British State Protects Paedophiles. It is still up there. It hadn't disappeared. I just obviously hadn't seen it. I produced that. It was originally published on the 18th of January, 2018. So please go and enjoy that video. And there are other videos as well that deal with that or similar issues. There's one on the Epstein case. So enjoy. Sensum Kamenum gave £5. Thank you very much. Don't underestimate the effects of COVID-19. If you have a proclivity for the protein that the virus attaches to, then you will be very ill, young or old. Mortality is simply higher in the elderly. Well, thank you very much for that. I think that's what Jason was saying. Junta Mominari gave $3. Thank you very much. He said, people need to stop calling it cultural Marxism and call it what it really is, cultural Zionism. China bans Hollywood's miscegenation propaganda, and that is why a certain tribe dislikes them. I will say this, and it is really interesting. Everyone knows I like a few computer games, and computer games have been at one point very, very sort of masculine games, other than things like Candy Crush and games which are meant for sort of mums or people killing time on the train, were always very masculine. I don't know whether Daughter of Albion's a gamer or if she's a Candy Crush girl. We'll get to that in a minute. But I always used to like games, quite sort of masculine games. You know, I play quite regularly. I enjoy them. But one thing I've noticed is that all of this progressive nonsense is being pushed into gaming now. But when these games go to China, it's all edited back out again. And social justice warriors are going crazy about this, because they say, why are the Chinese getting their way? Why are they having all this edited out? And you do get to see that basically, China, which is meant to be a communist country, is not having this nonsense pushed upon their kids. So, Daughter of Albion, have you noticed this, that China is being freed from this propaganda? And are you a Candy Crush girl, or do you do any gaming?
That's so funny. I didn't know they were editing it back out. That's actually hilarious and very based. Actually reminds me when, I think it was The Sound of Music, when it went to, I think in North Korea, they actually edited out just the just the songs. So I always thought that was very amusing. I'm not a big gamer. I did used to really like some of the old DOS games, though. I liked the Oregon Trail, I think Indiana Jones and the Fate of Atlantis. These are probably the two I remember playing. But I quite like Tetris, I suppose. That's about it.
There's nothing wrong with liking Tetris. Tetris is a gaming...
It's addictive, yeah.
It's timeless. Also, if you've got a Nintendo Switch, there is now a 100-player version of Tetris.
Ooh.
And the last
that sounds like a headache.
It's called Tetris. I think it's called Tetris Battle Royale or something. No, it's Tetris 100, but it's a Battle Royale Tetris. So 100 people start the game, and it ends up going down to just 1v1, and one wins. Jason, have you noticed this Chinese culling of the SJW nonsense?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I have. And something that we need to, and this is, again, where we are right, and CivNats, nationalists, and the like, nationalism of yesteryear is wrong, is that the Chinese are not a problem for the West, for Western kind, because they're communists. The Chinese are very racially focused. They know who they are as a race, and they do divide the country into different levels of who is, who's superior and who's inferior based on race. So right now, if you are unaware of this, when Chinese people, either men or women, marry people outside of their race, they use the state propaganda to highlight just individual couples. I mean, can you imagine this? They actually highlight individual couples with their state propaganda, and then they tell blatant lies that their lives are absolutely ruined by marrying out of their race. And I'm sure in some cases that might be true. But they don't know that. They're just telling their population this because they don't want them to marry outside of their race. So they are racially focused. That means, and especially when we have things like this, that we should be referring to them as anti-white as the problem rather than communists as the problem.
Excellent. Donald J. Trump. Oh, no, sorry, I've missed one. Sensen Kamenon gave £5. He said the issue with the police is that the good ones are terrified of committing wrongthink, faux pas, and being grasped up by the progressive useless ones. Hence why PA needs to bring back common sense. Thank you. Donald J. Trump gave $3. Thanks, Donald. And he said, what's all the fuss about? All you have to do is identify as cured and the coronavirus is gone. Feelings and identifying negate science. Nothing to worry about.
Very good.
OG Snoop gave $25. Thank you very much, my friend. He said the media's narrative is clear. It's just a virus. Well, it's not just a virus. It's a Chinese bioweapon. Everyone who says it's just the flu are repeating the words of the media. They want to protect China and their grip on Western economies. Links/description. HTTPS. I'll just put this into the thing. This is this guy's paste bin with all the information. So I'm going to put that in the chat. And if it leads to something horrific, well, I don't think it should because it's a paste bin. But thank you for the super chat. The Thin Red Line said, great stream, guys, and gave $10. Thank you very much, my friend. The Last PaleoCon gave $5. Thank you very much. He said, our race shows the world, our history, our ancestors, our tradition, and our shared struggles. We build, they poison. We rebuild, and we always win. Thank you very much. Joshua Dara gave £10. Thank you very much. Hi, Mark. Great show. You will have noticed how our young are brainwashed to hate their own culture. Look at TikTok. It's disgusting. Even teenagers from white areas now mostly only listen to rap music and try to speak with an MCLE accent. How are we supposed to fight this? It seems like a hopeless case. Well, how are we meant to fight this? I think we have to fight things by being unashamed. What do I mean by that? Well, when you look at how conservatives try to fight their enemies, is conservatives just adopt whatever their enemies do and then claim they've won because they're now doing what their enemies said. So if conservatives didn't like rap music, but some people liked rap music, conservatives would start playing rap music and claim that rap music was the new conservative. That's why there's the Lady MAGA, the drag queen. So conservatives should be against drag queen story hour, but they're not really anymore because they've got their own conservative drag queen. And now drag queens are the mainstay of the conservative movement, apparently. And it's this bizarre cooking that took the Conservative Party in the UK from being the party that enacted Section 28 to stop children being indoctrinated in schools about homosexuality to being the party that legalised homosexual adoption and marriage. And now being homosexual is the most conservative thing you can be, according to the Conservative Party. And we have to be the opposite of that. To fight back, we have to be not rude to people who are doing the wrong thing, We don't have to mock them. We don't have to completely belittle them and make them feel silly for making mistakes. But we have to be absolutely resolute in the fact that they are mistakes. And we can't start adopting bad things to try and make ourselves look hip and cool, as the Conservatives have done. We have to stick to our guns. But the people we have to mock is the people pushing this stuff. So we must mock the people pushing it, not the people doing it, because they've been misled and we have to win them over. So we have to mock the people pushing it, and we have to stand strong. And more importantly than anything, we have to offer a better alternative. We have to offer something that people say, I'd rather be a part of that than be a part of the guys on the corner smoking weed, listening to rap music and talking rubbish. And I think we are offering a better alternative. And I think if we continue to offer that better alternative, just like with a patriotic alternative, I said to people, there is a better way than jumping on the megabus, drinking two slabs of Carling, getting to an event in London, kicking off, snorting a few lines, half of us getting nicked, and then waking up the next day, 200 quid worse off with terrible newspaper headlines. We did something better. And the second time we did something better, our numbers doubled. If you do the right thing and keep pushing the right message, your numbers will increase, but you have to stick to your guns. And if you stick to your guns and show that you're serious and doing it in a nice, above board way, we have a much better chance of winning. And I think that many, many young people today are so unhappy, they're so depressed, and they're depressed and unhappy because they're doing the wrong thing. And if they were out mountain biking with the likes of me and Jason, or if they were reading English literature with the likes of Sarah here, they would be happier people, because we're happy people. We're happy, well-adjusted people, and that's what we've got to do. What's your thoughts on this, Sarah? How would you reach out to young people and offer an alternative? And by the way, I think you're already reaching out and offering a wonderful alternative, but please give your thoughts.
Well, I think you've just hit the nail on the head. I mean, conservative, I say this as a conservative, I mean, they can really be a painful embarrassment. You know, I think really they ought to be relentlessly and fiercely mocked. I think that's really memes are a wonderful form of satire for that. I think another part of this is that really the determination of the concept of race is something that I think has allowed people to feel disenfranchised and to for this sort of absence of solidarity and kinship to manifest to the point that it has. I think that people just need to have a much more assertive, not necessarily aggressive, but just a confident ethnocentrism, which I suppose it allows us to see ourselves as having a kind of kinship and unity again. I mean, really, this religion of anti-racism has turned Europe into a field of ruins. And this is one of the things I really enjoyed listening to George Lincoln Rockwell about, because he had just such an unabashed, not even a sort of arrogant pride, but a genuine love of his people. And I think that's a very attractive prospect to people. I think that it makes them feel good, and it makes them feel a great deal of comfort, confidence, and love. So I think that that's something we're going to have to certainly work on. But a kind of unashamed confidence in that, I would say.
Thank you. I agree with that. It's very, very well put. An unashamed confidence is exactly what we need. And a man with an unashamed confidence is, of course, Jason. How do you win the hearts and minds of young people, my friend?
Well, both of the things that you both were saying. I mean, it's first of all, we have to be better than everyone else chooses to be. So they are choosing lifestyles, they're choosing means of behavior, modes of behavior, et cetera, that are anti-white. And so we be better than that. We make that decision to be better than that. We also, at the same time, as Sarah was saying, we ridicule the hell out of these people and just relentlessly mock them and criticize them, break them down, unpack their lifestyles, show how worthless their lives have become by their decisions, and that they can be redeemed here by going free, serving white well-being. But the other thing I think that it should be added to this is that we need to continue to demonstrate that we are communal, that we are not this hyper-individualism. Because who in the hell wants to join a community of hyper-individualists where really it still is a socialism of a focused sort, where you're hooked up by way of your family, by way of your connections, you get into the good schools, you get the great jobs and everything. That's still socialism. It just on a hyper-focused level. Those people, they want to preserve that environment, that so-called hyper-individualist environment, because they're benefiting from the hyper-focused socialism. So if we demonstrate that we help each other, that we support each other, that we take care of each other, and we continue to do that, we will also continue to be a very alluring choice relative to anti-whiteism and what they have to offer.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Donald J. Trump gave another $3. Thank you very much. He said, I investigated a case in the UK where there was a paedophile ring under the guise of a church. The church had received tens of thousands of pounds donated by the Freemasons. Thank you for your work, guys. Well, thank you for that information. And please give us that information. If you can send us any details on that, that'd be appreciated. Nature Lover gave $10. Thank you very much. Is it the PA plan? Is it that the PA plan will become a lifestyle guide for a large section of the population and have a tangible effect on our streets as a backup plan if a political solution is not possible? Patriotic Alternative, we discussed this on Friday, so that's the best place to hear our answer. Patriotic Alternative wants to explore all solutions for our people. We know the only solutions are peaceful. We're definitely not suggesting violence, but Patriotic Alternative seeks to exploit the electoral system when it's a benefit to us. But we also want to be so much more, a community-based movement that reaches out to people through a variety of channels. And one way we will be reaching out to people is by offering help and improvement, and also by allowing people to come together in safe spaces where they can express themselves. Holding these meetings, I've had people after the meeting say, oh, what's the point of holding another meeting? Well, the point of holding another meeting is 200 people came together who probably don't get a chance to meet like-minded people every week. They probably don't get the chance to meet like-minded people every month. So getting to be in a room of your own people is a powerful thing. And people who say, what's the point in another conference, are missing the point. Why do you think the government funds Muslim community centers, Black community centers, Jewish community centers? Because community binds people together. Why aren't there any white community centers? This was a community center for the indigenous people, those who care about the indigenous people. How can a community center for our people be a bad thing? That is exactly what PA wants to do. Joe R gave £3, said, great show. People should read Beast Wing 666, Ritual Abuse in the UK. It's available for free online as well as on Amazon on paperback. It's very informative on the subject. That's Beast Wing 666, Ritual Abuse in the UK. I'm going to post that name in the chat now. Anyone that wants to have a look for that, it's available free online and it's on Amazon. Thank you for the super chat. Zed Dez gave £25. Thank you very much. And said, what do you think of the rising demand in the West for China to close their wet markets? Would you accept the same demand from China if they claimed we were engaged in harmful practices? Oh, and what size is Sophia wearing now? Well, Zed Dez is an absolutely lovely lady who sent me the most beautiful handmade clothes for Sophia. They are absolutely lovely. So thank you very much. She is now in 9 to 12 months. She's a right little chunk. And her new favourites are Yorkshire pudding. And we gave her some steak the other night. And she liked steak so much. She had two pieces of steak. She picked the first one up, enjoyed it so much. But she spied the second, picked the second up and decided to eat that. And then she couldn't decide which she wanted. So one went in the mouth. And then she decided that the other looked tastier. And that went in the mouth. And this went on for quite a long time until eventually all the colour had literally been drained from the steak. She'd literally just stuck all of the life out it before it was chucked on the floor. So she's doing very well. And I think the demand for us for China to close their wet markets is quite interesting, but I don't think it'll have any effect. I think what we should do with that, do I think that we would accept the same demand from China if they claimed we were engaged in harmful practices? I don't think China will bow to those demands, but I do believe we would bow to the demands of other countries if we were doing things that offended them. It's as simple as that. What do you guys think about that? Do you think China will bow to the demand for them to close their wet markets?
I think it's perfectly reasonable to ask them to if it is correct that it came from there. I mean, this is not the first time it's happened, and these markets are disgusting, not to mention highly abusive to animals. I mean, I don't really like to interfere with other countries' politics, but I mean, if it is true that it's come from one of these wet markets, I know some people don't really believe that's the true story, then yeah, shut it the hell down.
Well, I definitely think that, first of all, we've had plenty of plagues that have come from Asia because of practices like this. China, of course, is not going to be shutting these things down because biospiritually, their palate enjoys the consumption, not every single one of them, of course, but the consumption of poisoned meats, of things we would never eat, and things that the harm that is inflicted on the animals are despicable. So we can't order them to do X, Y, or Z, but we sure as heck can say, look, if you're going to behave this way, if you're going to abuse animals, et cetera, well, we're not going to make this deal with you or that deal with you. And why in the hell, anyhow, do we have all of our, or so many factories over there in China?
Well, I think it's unfair, really, to interfere in other countries and their running of things. I wouldn't want to be interfered with. I don't think we should be interfered with. I don't think we should interfere with them. However, I will say this. We don't have the right to interfere with them, but we do have the right not to buy their goods if they act in an inhumane way. I think that is very fair. And I certainly find the abuse of animals in China to be absolutely disgusting, especially the footage I've seen of dogs being boiled alive. It's very disturbing. OG Snoop gave another $3 and said, you skipped my question at the end of the super chat. I apologize. He said, it's not just a virus, it's a bioweapon. What does the panel think of the media's narrative on this? Well, the media's narrative on COVID is quite interesting. And I think it's very mixed. Originally, they said, oh, well, it's not that bad. It's not even as bad as flu. Get over it. Then they were like, oh, my gosh, it's the worst thing ever. You're a complete idiot if you leave your house. The media's narrative has been very mixed up, and they've also been very mixed on where it's come from. I think on this issue, it's very difficult to say there's been one cohesive media narrative, because you do have some media pundits saying, we should just get on with it because the economy is all that matters. And then you have some people like Piers Morgan who very curiously say the economy isn't all that matters. And let's face it, we should be locking everything down because it's our pensioners that matter. What do you think to the media narrative on this? Has the media been cohesive, or have they broken lines more this time?
Honestly, I have no idea. I really don't know. That I'm very confused by all of this. I don't tend to trust the press anyway, but there's been so many conflicting facts. I know, Jason, last I think a week or so before you came to the UK, you were telling me that you were of the opinion that it had in fact come from a lab. Do you still hold that opinion? Or,
well, I think that it could be certainly man-made, and there are a number of options here. There could be zoonotic. In other words, this happens all the time. This is where other plagues have come from. It just was people eating raw bats or even semi-cooked bats or what have you, a disease that SARS bats carry. It could have been modified in a laboratory for the purpose of studying the evolution of these viruses and then accidentally leaked or intentionally leaked. It could have had a parallel black ops or just solely black ops operation as a bioweapon. So there are a number of options here when it comes to what it is and how it released. But there is one way to look at how the media governments have approached this that is utterly coherent. And that is that at all times they have been anti-white. At no point have they not been anti-white. So at first, when this was making its way out of a non-white country, naturally, anti-white people were going to say, well, there's nothing wrong with it. Nothing bad comes from a non-white country. Just eat the virus, bigot. You'll be fine. It's just a cold. It's just a flu, bro. Get over it. Why are you complaining so much? You're just a conspiracy theorist. That makes perfect sense that anti-whites would say that. And then when it's actually afflicting the landscape, killing a great many people, etc., makes perfect sense that they would then say, wow, this is a great opportunity to advance a lot of our agenda. So let's tell everybody they've got to stay at home longer than they actually have to. So I predict that we'll see a big battle now between a legitimate roll forward, as I was talking about, roll forward and roll back of economic activity so that we can maintain a healthy economy, and anti-whites who want to just keep it rolled back so that they can fund all of their projects, they can push through all of the anti-white surveillance and et cetera that they would like to do. So it all makes perfect sense if you look at it from that view.
Okay, thank you. Ralph Solback gave $5. Thank you very much. He said, the COVID is only a bad flu for healthy. It is being used as a cover for the oligarchs to asset strip all Western nations and suppress protests. WHO and CDC is big pharma stooges. People need to understand COVID is being used to strip rights and starve the masses. See, there's a lot of differences in our community to how people are looking at this. And I've got to say, somebody sent me this earlier. The government downgraded coronavirus and it is no longer classed as a high consequence infectious disease. It's all on the government website. And then we went into lockdown 2 days later. Well, that is true. Brian Gerrish of UK Column was actually saying that the government downgraded the disease just before we went into lockdown. Rory Hermit gave £3. Sarah, you might not want to answer this, but he asks, how's your father doing given the coronavirus?
My father? He's okay. I'm not sure why he asked that. Yeah, my dad's all right. I think I was recently speaking about my dad having a pacemaker. That's maybe what he was referring to. He's got a bit of a dicky heart, but he's very well. Yeah, he's enjoying pottering about in the garden, I think. So if that's what you mean, then yeah, thank you for asking. He's perfectly well. Thank you.
Good. Thank you very much. Mark Hooper gave £50. Thank you very much. Very generous, my friend. He said, hi, Mark. Great show as always. Well, thank you. It's always lovely to hear from me. And make sure you get in touch. Last PaleoCon gave $3 and said, how about we let China eat what they want, but start buying Western products, buying for Western countries? Well, I think that's what we said. I do totally agree. Mm-hmm. And thank you very much for the super chat. So let's do the quick fire questions. These are the questions from the audience that got voted up. Slamara said, hi, guys. How do you feel that the Twitter pages of Cartoon Network and Nickelodeon are tweeting pro-trans tweets? Their target audience is children under the age of 13. How can they get away with it? They are absolutely perverted. They are freaks. And pushing this upon children, pushing this agenda upon children, is essentially criminal and represents the sexualization of people who are too young to understand what they're viewing. If you don't like what Cartoon Network and Nickelodeon are doing, don't buy their products, don't watch their shows, boycott them, hit them where it hurts. What are your thoughts, Sarah?
Yeah, it's disgusting. I mean, it's straight up paedophilia, in my opinion. I might do a little detective work later and see if I can track down some of the names of these producers and whatnot. Be interesting to see. But yeah, it's absolutely perverted. The parents need to re-object to this strongly.
I concur with both of you. Let's get to some more of these great questions.
Never be black-pilled, Ed. Did you see Richard Inman's pathetic rant against ethno-nationalism? I did. It was very funny, actually. I'm going to just look this up so I can give you the statistics on it, because I had a massive, massive chuckle about this. Richard Inman is one of the worst people when it comes to denying the realities of what's going on in Britain today. And he made possibly the most cringeworthy video ever, saying, we must stop the enemies of the UK masquerade as patriots to push their neo-Nazis agenda. So I don't know how many spelling errors he made in the title of his video. This is me reading it verbatim. We must stop the enemies of the UK masquerade as patriots to push their neo-Nazis agenda. I think what he meant to say is, we must stop the enemies of the UK masquerading as patriots to push their neo-Nazi agenda. So there you go, Richard. That's some consultancy from me to you, Richard Inman. There you go. A bit of proofreading, totally free of charge. But your video seems to have got ratioed, my friend, with 249 likes and a monstrous 1,300 dislikes. And the motto of the story is, Richard, you're on the wrong side. Because if you stand for us the indigenous people of Britain being turned into a minority so that you can bring in wonderful people who will, of course, just adopt our culture and be just like us, because after all, it's only skin deep, isn't it, mate? You're on the wrong side. We will not be replaced. And if you're on the side that wants us to be replaced, you are an enemy of the indigenous people. This is no longer the time of the little plastic flag waving conservatives. This is the time of the nationalists, the people who want to save those of European descent. And if you haven't lodged your polite complaints with Mr. Inman, his video is in the chat right now. Sarah, have you seen Richard Inman's semi-literate rant?
I haven't. No, I'm going to have to go and watch that straight after this. It sounds like it's done awfully well, though. Come and join us, Richard, if you're listening. We'll look after you. We're nice people. Come to our side.
Well, that's the thing. So many people have. Chris from Patriotic Talks, I'm on with him tomorrow at 7:30 UK time. I'll be reminding you that at the end. James Goddard, look at all the people who've come over. Shazia Hobbs. People are coming over to us every day, because at the end of the day, every single problem Richard Inman talks about, every single problem that Tommy Robinson talks about, every single problem that these civic nationalists talk about are all downstream from demographics. If it wasn't for the migration flood, you wouldn't have girls being groomed. And people say, no, Mark, it's about legal migration. If it was done legally, it wouldn't be a problem, bigot. Well, I'll tell you this, you big-brained civnat. All of the Muslims in the UK that are abusing white English girls are here legally. They have a passport. And by your definition, they're British because they've got that little maroon booklet. You know, they're as British as Yorkshire pudding, aren't they, mate? No, they're not. That's why they're doing horrible things to your daughters. The Somalians carrying out the machete attacks in London, many of them have British passports. Are they enriching us? The fact of the matter is, the majority of the problems in Britain today are caused because of this demographic nightmare that is unfolding. So I hope that's answered Richard Inman and his semi-literate video. Matt V said to all three of us, if you could only preserve one book for the future white generations, which one would you choose? I'll go first, because this is a real struggle for me. It's a real struggle of mine to choose a book that I would like to preserve, because on one hand, I would obviously like to pick my own, but on the other hand, that looks pretty sort of big-headed. I'd say out of all the books that I've read, there's three books, one by a certain misunderstood Austrian painter that is rather marvelous, one by George Lincoln Rockwell that if I probably say on this show, it'll be banned, and Dr. David Jukes, My Awakening. Those three books I would recommend to anyone. Daughter of Albion, what are your... You're a literary expert, so you could probably write a whole essay on this, but if you had to preserve one, or if you give us three, it doesn't matter, what would you preserve?
Well, I'd probably go for Chaucer's Canterbury Tales, the original, what they call the Kelmscott manuscript, because it's so beautiful. It's by William Morris. People want to look it up. I suppose just because it's such an iconic physical copy, the first book that sees the transition from Old English into Middle English and the language of English as we know it. So I would probably have to go for something like that. I must admit, I am a fan of Rockwell as well, though. And probably Paradise Lost, I would say.
Oh,
good choices. Jason, if you had to pick one to three books, what would you pick? And would one of them immense struggle for you?
I will absolutely pick The Fall of Western Man. Carry that on.
Oh, I took that as a given. I meant both of your books to you.
My book was written in interesting circumstances, and I don't expect anyone to ever call that a work of literary genius. But if it does do a small part in helping people, I'm happy for the small part it's So Captain Penguin says, thank you, Captain Penguin. You've got an amusing name. We've got some super chats after this. Captain Penguin says, Sargon said that you're a Nazi on his Akkad Daily stream with Molyneux. Do you think you'd be willing to have a discussion, debate with me? I don't think Sargon would dare debate me because I would crush him like a small and insignificant bug. The fact is, Sivnath arguments just don't stack up to what we have to say. And I think the Sivnaths now are running scared. They're setting up a new organization every week, which then collapses. And we are the ones making serious inroads. But we do have some super chats. A Blunderbuss gave $25. Thank you very much. He said, we must secure ventilators for our boomers and government payouts for their dusky offspring. I see what you did there. That was good. I like the comedy ones. I do like the comedy super chats. Stephen Campbell gave $14. He said, hey, guys, many thanks from the British diaspora. We care about our ancestral homeland. Thank you very much. £10 from Joshua Dara. Thank you very much. He says, who knows what to believe? The point is, no one can be categorical with any conclusion about Corona. There is too much misinformation or disinformation to be sure about it. Jason is right. The one thing we can know is the establishment is anti-white and will use any opportunity to attack us. I agree. And Indigenous gave £5. Thank you very much. Mark, if Boris and Corbyn were drowning, what sandwich would you make? I tend to eat a box of Maltesers when I'm celebrating. So I think I'd have two boxes of Maltesers. Would anyone join me for a Malteser?
I'm fond of a Malteser for sure.
Well, if you want to join me, Daughter of Albion, and Jason on the couch having some Maltesers, we'll munch on them with nice cups of English breakfast tea as Boris and Corbyn enjoy their time in the pond without the water. Gosh, my door's going to get kicked in at 4 a.m. In Minecraft! This is all in Minecraft. I'm only talking about in Minecraft. Matt V, please, can Daughter of Albion do some narration for PA promotional media? Well, not only is that a good question, but Daughter of Albion, can I invite you to our next conference?
I would absolutely love to come. I'd be honoured, of course. Yeah, I was very disappointed to miss the last one. So I would absolutely be delighted, yes. And I'll read anything anyone wants, within reason.
Well, actually, there is a guy, and this is for anyone who can do voiceover work. There is a guy who has written to me and he wants to do a YouTube channel. So if anyone, this might be too much for you, Sarah, because I know you're very busy, but people are saying he would like somebody to help him record. So if anyone wants to collaborate with this guy, do write to me at Mark at the Fall of Western Man after the show. And also, talking of people who are teachers or have taught, there is a very nice lady who I promoted the other day on my Twitter, and her name is Abby. She's a really, really lovely lady. She's got a YouTube channel called The Anglo-Saxon Teacher, and I'm just going to share that in the chat because she's a really, really wonderful lady. She's making great videos, and up until the other day, she only had a handful of subscribers, but we've got her up to over 500. The link to her channel is now in the chat. So please give her a sub. She's a very nice lady. She writes to me. She was going to come to the conference, but wasn't very well, so she stayed away in case it was Corona. And there you have it. She deserves a bit of support. And also, I hope you've all subbed Daughter of Albion's BitChute tonight, because that is very, very important in case she gets deplatformed. We have another question here, this time from Son of Britain. He said, how do you feel about mosques still open and the gay pride events still going on? Apparently, Brighton Gay Pride is still going on regardless of Corona. I say to them, good luck, fellas. What do you say, Sarah?
Yeah, crack on, boys. Enjoy yourselves.
Yes.
Make sure there's even more touching, gyrating, and filth than usual. Revel in it, guys, because I'm sure this will end absolutely well. I'm sure there's nothing that can go wrong. But I've heard that COVID-19 is hitting certain religious communities that are refusing to shut the doors of their places of worship. So, yes, I have heard this. And we will see how it affects them.
Yeah.
Adrian Roberts says, any updates on the Patriotic Alternative website? Yes, it is now live. The new website is live at www.patrioticalternative.com. .org.uk, patrioticalternative.org.uk. But you will get a security warning. We are waiting for the security certificate to update. It's taking ages. There is nothing insecure about the site. But the fact is, the security certificate is updating. It should be done by midnight. 12 a.m. Friday morning. And we have one last question, which is apparently a light-hearted question. It's Guatam Resavage. I always pronounce your name wrong. Sorry. I'm just going to call you GR from now on. He said, light-hearted question to Mark and everyone. I saw your propaganda of Russell Brand about you. What do you think about Russell Brand? And would you ever bring him on air if you could? Russell, a message from your old mate, Mark, your old Leeds drinking pal. Come and have a word with me for old time's sake. Let's rekindle our friendship and let's debate the big issue of the day, demographics. What do you think about Russell Brand, guys, before we go to the outros?
He's a bit of a plonker, isn't he? You know what, if you offered it to be some sort of charitable meetup, Mark, then he really couldn't refuse you, could he, being the Marxist that he is? I'd love to see you meet up. How many years will it have been since you've met, if you do?
Nearly 20.
Oh my gosh, that would be fascinating, genuinely. Yeah, it really would.
The fascinating thing is as well, I've just shaved my head, so it would be like me.
Seamless transition.
It would. We'd both have the same, because he's never sort of changed his haircut. So we'd both be just as we were then, but a lot older. And hopefully I'd be a lot wiser. One thing I would have to say, though, if I did meet him again, he is somebody who absolutely talks over people. And he does use his persona to try and intimidate anyone that he talks to. When I say intimidate, he doesn't do it physically by threatening you, but he is very pushy. And I would like to meet him in a chat that was moderated so that you both manage to get your point over in bite-sized chunks rather than him just talking over me. That would have to be something I'd like to see, because I do think it would be productive and I do believe in talking. And we could even exchange books. I could give him a copy of my book. I'm sure it's better reading than his. No offense, Russell, but I do have faith. I wouldn't put my book down as the greatest literary work of all time, as I said earlier, but I did put a lot of heart and soul into it. It is available for free on www.thefallofwesternman.com, which about brings us to the end of the show. And somebody just said he also dodges questions with light-hearted jokes. He does do that. But I would still very much like to debate him. So if anyone goes over to his channel, make sure you tell him to come and talk to his old friend from Leeds. So anyway, that about brings us to the end of the show. And I'd like to say it's been a good show with the corona lockdown on, with everyone feeling a bit sort of stir crazy, everyone getting a bit of cabin fever. I think we raised everyone's spirits, and that is in large part down to the lovely Sarah, daughter of Albion. You were superb tonight. It's been great getting to know you, and I've really enjoyed our chat. I'd love you to come on again. It's great to know you're going to come to the next PA event, but please give yourself an outro. Tell us where we can find you, how we can contribute to your work, and fill us in on any upcoming projects we need to know about.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me. It's been really good fun. You've actually raised my spirits a lot today. It's quite isolating being indoors on your own. So this has been good fun for me. Okay, so you can find me, I suppose, on YouTube, just at Daughter of Albion. My BitChute, I believe, is Sarah Thustra. Hang on, let me just double check. It's Sarah with an H, Thustra. I'm just going to double check because what is it? 22, that's it. I also have an Instagram, or you can email me all the information's on my YouTube channel. As for projects, I have about 6 videos that I'm constantly working on. I just really need to get them out. But I'll hopefully do that over the next week. So I have quite a lot to upload. I should have really done it before I came on today. But yes, lots of things I'm working on.
Well, look, thank you very much. And thank you for coming on. I look forward to seeing those videos. Jason, what are you up to, my friend? Is there an after party? And if so, who is on tap?
Well, we don't know who's on tap yet, but we will know soon, and we will let everybody know who we're tapping into. It'll probably be on Friday. I just want everybody to know that it's not about being locked down. It's about who you're locked down with, and being locked down with all of you is absolutely magnificent. We are going to come out of this much stronger than the rest of the world. So I am, if nothing else, it's what, remember also that the new PA website, it is not insecure. It's quite confident, just a little shy. But feel free to use it, and I look forward to seeing you all again when we get back together. It has been a pleasure to be with Daughter Valvion again, and everybody in this wonderful chat. Thanks, everybody, for financially contributing and participating with your comments and questions. I pass it back to our leader, Mark Collett.
I noticed I said insecure instead of unsecure about the website, and I hoped no one had noticed, but they did. I was caught out for my... my failure. I bet Daughter of Albion noticed, but was just too polite to say anything.
I didn't notice anything, not at all. Seamless.
It's days like this when we've had such a laid-back, fun chat that I wish we were all on the sofa. So after the show, we could just settle down, have a cup of tea, and have a chat. It's been a really great sort of cozy stream tonight, and I enjoy these types. That just leaves me to say a few last bits of news. I'll be back on Friday with my video, which is called The Genocidal Cult of GDP. Make sure you don't miss out on that one. It's one of those videos where I wish I was a great illustrator, because there's a large analogy in it, and I can't illustrate anything because I'm not very good with graphics, so I hope I do it justice. Also, I will be on Patriotic Talk tomorrow night with Chris at 7:30, so that will be very good. I'm also on the Kill Stream early on in Saturday morning with Ethan Ralph. So again, please check that out too. Now, if you haven't donated but would like to make a financial contribution after the show, you can write to me at Mark at the 4 Western Man, or send me a donation via Entropy. You can now donate after the show's finished, and you can also donate to me via Bitcoin. All of the links are in the description below. And that just leaves me to say thank you. Thank you to the lovely and very erudite Daughter of Albion. It has been great having you on, and your voice truly is the voice of England. Thank you. Thank you. No White. As always, Jason, you are the best wingman a man could hope for, although your hair does need to be shaved. I'm expecting it to be gone next week. That doesn't help you, Sarah. I don't want to see you with a shaved head. That wouldn't be quite as funny. And also, it would take you a lot longer to fix that problem than it will take me and Jason.
These bunny ears.
I wonder if there is there any women in the chat who have gone crazy and shaved their heads? Let's see.
Any Britney Spears is out there?
Yeah, I think when a man does it, it's obviously dealing with something like corona or just not being able to get to the barbers. When a girl does it,
it's a bit rapey.
Serious life crisis. That also takes us to the end of the show, though. So thank you so much to Sarah. Thank you so much to Jason. Thank you so much to everyone who's tuned in, to all the people who have sent such generous super chats. We have one last one. It's from Spenciferous. He gave $3. Thank you very much, my friend. And he said, skinhead, call it. Thank you very much. And that leaves me with one big last thank you before we say goodbye. And that is, of course, thank you to everyone who supports this show by watching and who is in the chat. You people are the lifeblood of this movement. This is a community, and it is everyone who plays a part in this community that makes it what it is. Thank you for being here. Stay safe. Whether the coronavirus is something that is being overblown or whether it is something that is deadly serious, make sure that you come through it on the other side. Make sure you look after each other, look after your close family and your friends. Stay safe. I love you all, and hopefully I will see you here same time next week for PWR, and the guest will be Dr. Edward Dutton. So I'm very much looking forward to that. I will see you all then. Stay safe. Have a great evening.